We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Thank you so much for worshiping with us, everyone online, everybody in the room. We love every one of you. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord? I'm glad to be here. If you don't know, my name is Chris Fluitt, and this is Redemption Church of Plano, Texas. And we are in the fifth week. Everyone said fifth week? Of our sermon series called Afterlife. If you missed any of our sermon series, we want you to check that out. We have been filling out an afterlife timeline. It's pretty complex, right? From the first 4 weeks. Look at that up on the screen. If you're listening to the audio, you really need to see this. This is some wild stuff here on the screen. If you missed any of this or any of that on the screen doesn't make sense to you, you need to check out the first weeks of our sermon series, okay? Excellent. God is so good. I want to talk to you today about the important subject of heaven. Heaven is real. Heaven is beautiful. Heaven is waiting. It's waiting for you. It's waiting for you. And sometimes, especially like just with the news I gave each and every one of you about our friend Dean, it feels like defeat. I want to tell you, it is not defeat because of what Jesus did on the cross. The defeat all belongs to death itself. Death is swallowed up in what? In victory. Amen. The afterlife is a little more complicated than you might think. I've said this word a lot. The afterlife is a lot more than just heaven and hell, right? And we've looked at that. But now today, we're going to turn our attention to heaven. The Bible tells us of an eternal resting place for those that believe. What is heaven like? We're going to be spending some time talking to you about that today. What's heaven like? Take a moment to get a visual of heaven. Get it in your head. What does that look like? Can look like a lot of things. Popular culture sometimes bleeds into our picture of heaven. Some of my earliest pictures of heaven, sadly, aren't Sunday school, but it's Tom and Jerry fighting each other, and Jerry gets hit in the face and becomes an angel and starts playing a little harp. And that for a lot of people, that's their picture of heaven. Yeah, right there. We see fat, chubby babies playing harps. That's a lot of people's pictures of heaven and pictures of angels. If I were an angel, I'd be really, really offended at such a concept. Some people think that we ourselves will actually turn into angels. That when you die, like Jerry died. No, not Jerry, Tom. Tom, Jerry's the mouse. He doesn't die ever. Tom, like Tom turning into that angel. My gosh, get your doctrine straight here, Chris Fluitt. Tom's the cat. Jerry's the mouse. Right. How about this one? We think that heaven's going to be an eternally long worship service where we sing one song. Not only do we sing one song, but the song only has one word in it. And so people have trouble with that, right? The word's holy, yeah. We picture St. Peter at the gate with a list, and he's checking it to see if your name's on it. People have that picture. I have no idea. He was given the keys to the kingdom. He wasn't given a clipboard to the kingdom. I don't know what that's about. There's a lot of white in heaven. There's a lot of clouds in heaven. We have these pictures. What is heaven really like? The Bible spends time telling us what heaven is like. And I want to tell you today that heaven is beautiful. Everyone say heaven is beautiful. I'm going to hit a lot of verses today. We aren't going to put them up on the screen, but if you want to see these verses, they are in my notes. Just go to our website, Redemption Plano, and find the fifth week of this afterlife series. Heaven is described as a city, as a holy city. It is called the New Jerusalem. It's a shining city on a tall mountain. Its description is reminiscent of Christ's command to be the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill can't be hidden. The description of heaven is also a description of the bride. The angel tells John in Revelation 21 that he's going to show him the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And then the angel shows him, lo and behold, shows him the New Jerusalem, shows him the city of heaven. This is God's way of telling us that the beauty of heaven is equal to the beauty of his bride. Do you understand what Jesus thinks about you? We're going to be looking at the beauty of heaven, but everything in the beauty of heaven is a reflection of what he thinks about you. The city had high walls with 12 gates. The gates had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written upon them. There were three gates to the east, three gates to the north, three gates to the south, three gates to the west. Each gate was guarded by an angel. The wall had 12 foundations, 12 foundations, and on each of them, the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The wall had 12 foundations. The wall was made of jasper, and the city is pure gold. The foundation is decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation is jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, agate, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, onyx, the sixth, ruby, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, turquoise, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. If you ever are wondering what your wives want, wives, just tell your husband to go read Revelation 21. That's the jewelry I want right there. That's the short list of it right there. I want to tell you real quick that no one decorates the foundation of a house. They decorate the house, the walls, the yard. No one decorates the foundation. But in heaven, the decoration is everywhere, including the foundation. What's that about? Because everything in heaven is beautiful. Where we use asphalt, they use the most precious of stone. And everything in heaven is beautiful. The foundation, I believe that the foundation of this city is more beautiful than anything on the earth right now. Yes. Something as functional as a foundation. Because everything is beautiful. The gates are made of a single pearl. We talked about those 12 gates. They are made of a single pearl. God's doing amazing stuff with pearls. The angel that was showing this to John pulls out a measuring rod of gold. Ladies, that's what your husband wants for his birthday. You can get him a measuring rod of gold. And he takes that measuring rod of gold and he measures the whole city. Measures its gates. Measures its walls. The city is 1,400 miles in height, width, and depth. It is a cube that is 1,400 miles, not feet, miles wide, high, and deep. The walls are 200 feet thick. Heaven is a city with no need for a sun or moon. For the glory of the Lord gives its light. There is no night, and the gates of that city are always open. There is no temple in the city. Let's hit our first scripture right here, Revelation 21 and 22. I did not see a temple in the city. You see, John, he's a Hebrew. Temples are a big deal. He's looking around the city and he sees no temple in the city. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There will be no churches in heaven. You listen to me. There will be no church buildings. There will be no denominations arguing. You know denominations arguing, right? It goes a little bit like this. I'm Baptist and I'm right. I'm Methodist, I'm right. I'm universalist, and really, guys, aren't we all right? No more of that. No more of this inward fighting. No more looking at other people as if they weren't your brother and sister in the Lord. There will be no pastors in heaven. Everyone clapped and said, hey, praise the Lord. You know? Why? Because everyone's going to have direct access to the Lord God. You won't have to ask me what the Lord, what the word says. Hey, pastor, what does this verse mean? What is it? You won't have to do that. You go straight to the Lord. We won't have to struggle with what God wants us to do. We can go right to the throne of Jesus Christ. There will be no gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you, there are gifts of the Spirit at work in the world right now. God's Spirit is at work in the world right now and can use you through the gifts of the Spirit right now. But in heaven, no more of that. All the gifts of the Spirit will pass away because there's going to be no need for prophecy, no need for tongues, no need for the gifts of the Spirit or the gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 explains it like this. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Face to face. Your face and whose face? The face of Jesus Christ. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Yes. Can I tell you something real quick? We presently operate in part. That's what it said. Now I know in part. We're doing our best here, but we just operate in part. Give your pastor a break. He's just operating in part. Can I tell you, kids, give your parents a break. Because they're just operating in part. Of course we're going to fail. We're just operating in part. In fact, I feel like a piece of IKEA furniture that's missing a piece. Anybody ever try to put together? I am famous for, I'm like five steps in, and then I realize I got something backwards at step two, and I have to go all the way. That's how I feel. I'm just trying to put something together and I don't have all the pieces. And if the pieces I do have, I'm not even sure where they all fit. Yeah. God, how does this work? Why am I this way? Why do I feel this way? I pray that way all the time. I prayed that way today. God, why do I feel the way I am? Why am I so broken? Why can't I figure this out? It's because you're not supposed to have it all together yet. You're just operating in parts. Just a bunch of parts trying to put it together. But one day, the Lord of glory is going to give me fullness. He's going to give me wholeness. He's going to put me all together. And the Chris Fluitt I was always meant to be is going to show up. And y'all are all going to say, finally. You see, in heaven, Jesus has made everything new. Nothing old is going to get in there. Revelation 21:5 says, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I want to tell you, heaven is beautiful. Heaven is absolutely beautiful. Whatever you've heard someone tell you, sometimes people, you know, have dreams, or people actually die and while they're dead and they come back to life later, but they have visions of heaven. I'm not putting any of that down, but I will tell you this. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things God has prepared for us. Whatever you've heard about heaven, I'm telling you, it's so much better than what you've heard. Heaven is beautiful, but not because of the angels. Heaven is beautiful, but not because of streets of gold, a crystal sea, not because of the jewels. God makes the beauty of heaven match the beauty of his bride. I want you to understand this with all my heart. What makes heaven beautiful to God is the presence of his bride. What makes heaven beautiful to God is that you are there. And what makes heaven beautiful to his bride is that the presence of her groom is there. Does anybody want to go to heaven? It's a beautiful place. Sometimes when people are asked, does anybody want to go to heaven? They're like, one day. You know, and I get that. I love my family. I don't want to spend one day apart from them. I love you guys. I would hate to go somewhere where I wouldn't see you for a time. I would hate that. But I'm telling you, you listen to me. If you have an opportunity to go to heaven, you take it. You go to heaven. Because there's not a better place. There's not a better place anywhere. What will we do in heaven? Let's spend some time talking about that. A lot of people have trouble with the idea of heaven. They can't figure out what they're going to do there. That's kind of important. We're talking about an eternity there. So what are we going to do for an eternity? I want to give you 8 things that we will be doing in heaven. Number one, worship. You're going to worship in heaven. In the book of Revelation, we see worship taking place in heaven. Angels worshiping him, singing holy, holy, holy. We see 24 elders and the living creatures. They are worshiping the Lamb. We see Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb. He takes center stage, and every eye beholds him, and they all cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb." Revelation chapter 7, 9 through 10. There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Every nation, every tribe, they are all worshiping the Lord, declaring that salvation belongs to him. We have that song. It's a wonderful song we sing often. It's called Revelation Song. Those lyrics, they come straight from Scripture. That's why it's so powerful. It is actually going on in heaven right now. Worship of God. And when we join in it, let me tell you, that's the power that you feel here on earth. You're connecting with the power and the glory of worshiping God in heaven. The power in those words that we sing in that song, Revelation Song, they are so powerful because they are prophetic. Let me tell you real quick, your worship is prophetic. You never thought about your worship that way. But when you are declaring the goodness of God, when you're declaring that he's going to win every victory, when you're declaring that he is glorious, when you're declaring that his name is lifted up and what a beautiful name it is, when you're declaring all these things, you're actually being prophetic, because one day every person is going to say those words. Every person is going to lift up their voice in worship. Your worship is prophetic of heaven. Isn't that powerful? My goodness. Do you realize that every nation, do you realize that every language, do you realize that every skin color, do you realize that people from every social, economic background, do you realize that those that lost their life for the gospel, do you realize that those that faced tribulation, but they kept the faith, do you realize that those that they and you are going to stand in a multitude that no one could count and declare, salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God. Real quick, clap your hands for the Lord. He's good. Christians, we don't know a lot about other religions. Let me tell you, other religions with other gods don't have salvation. Buddha doesn't teach salvation. No. Muhammad didn't teach salvation. No. Even in the Old Testament, their salvation was that a Messiah would show up. Yes. I want to tell you that nobody on earth has the salvation but our God. Yes. Only Jesus. And so we actually have that foolish question. Can you really say that Jesus is the only way to be saved? Yeah, by their own belief system. Absolutely. Oh, Jesus, you are the Savior. And salvation belongs to you, our God. If that doesn't excite you, if this idea that all the saved people are going to be standing before the Lord singing. If that doesn't excite you, you're going to need to come to this altar today and get a checkup. You're going to need to get the Lord stirring up your heart today. You might need to fall in love with the presence of the Lord today. There is an atmosphere of worship in heaven, but this worship goes beyond a worship service allotment of time. You need to understand that worship occurs every moment that you are in right standing with God. I want you to get that picture. Worship is not just a moment in a Sunday service, but worship occurs every moment you are in right standing with God. I want to tell you that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. When you are in right standing with God, I want to tell you every breath is praise. There doesn't have to be a guitar solo in the background. There doesn't have to be a Chris Tomlin song playing. You don't have to gather and put on your Sunday best for worship to be taking place. Every time you are in right standing with God, every moment is worship. That means that every moment, whatever you're doing, will be a worshipful moment. Are we going to be in right standing with God in heaven? Yes. We're going to be in right standing with God in heaven. So I'm going to tell you, every moment in heaven will be a worshipful moment. We won't have to sing all the time. We won't be singing all the time. But even in the moments we're not singing, it will be a worship-filled moment. We will not be standing and singing for all of eternity, but we will be worshiping the Lord for all eternity. I have seven more things that we're going to be doing in heaven, but worship is going to be present in all of them. Here's number two. We will reign. Revelation 22 and 5 says this. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This lines up with some of the parable teaching of Christ, where the master returns and invites the faithful servants to reign over more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Faithful over a few things, I will make you a ruler over many. Is that what the Lord says? This is all tying into that moment where we'll be reigning with him. There will be authority, roles, and responsibility in heaven. This is something that God ordained before the fall of man. Do you realize that work isn't the result of sin? He gave them work to do in the garden before they fell into sin. Work gives you purpose and meaning. And in heaven there will be work. There will be reigning to do. Right now on earth, we have been given the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 8 says you will have power, right? And Ephesians 1:14 tells us that the Holy Spirit is just the earnest, just the down payment of our inheritance. I want to tell you that the radical Holy Spirit power that you have experienced, raise your hand if you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that that power you have felt and experienced, doing miracles and lifting you up and saving you and drawing you to him, that power is nothing compared to what you'll experience in heaven. It's considered just a down payment of the reigning power you will have in heaven. So be faithful. Be faithful, church. If you are faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many. You don't have to wait for heaven to start ruling and reigning with Christ. You can start today. Number one. Number three. Moving on. Not back to number one. Number three. We will see Jesus. We will see God manifest in the flesh. The Messiah. Our Jesus Christ. Have you ever imagined that moment? We're going to see him. When we're worshiping, I want you to use your imagination. Imagine you're seeing him and you're singing to him. We sing those words, forever you are glorified. Forever You are lifted high. Don't just sing lyrics. Engage with the Lord. He is right here. Imagine that one day you'll see Him. And you can say these things to His face. The prophet Zechariah declared, they will look upon the one they had pierced. Zechariah spoke of this and the fact that the sight would bring mourning and grief to the world. But when we see Jesus in heaven, 1 John 3:2 says that we're going to be changed forever. Changed forever when we see Him. When John the Revelator saw Jesus, he fell at His feet as though dead. Jesus was so glorious, it liked to kill Him. He just thought he just fell over as though He were dead. And then Jesus speaks to John, says, do not be afraid. What will you do? How will you feel? We've got that wonderful song that says, I can only imagine. Surrounded by Your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for You, Jesus? Or in awe of You be still? Will I sing in Your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? Here we are on heaven, but we are operating in a realm of the Spirit that will be present there. It's the earnest. We are operating in worship, and worship will be present there. You ought to be doing your dress rehearsal for heaven right here on earth. On earth. Anybody love to worship Jesus? In heaven, you will see Him, the object of your worship. Number four, we will rest. God worked 6 days and He rested on the seventh day. He has not, we actually can't prove this at all, that He has ever rested since. He had that first day of rest, and I can't find that He has rested since in the Bible, right? But in heaven, we will enter into a Sabbath with God. A Sabbath rest with God forever. Not one day of the week, all of the week, all of eternity. The rest that we experience in heaven clearly is not due from the absence of work. Because work is going to be present. We're going to be serving and doing all sorts of things in heaven. That's what ruling and reigning is about. But we will never weary or tire. Everything we do will be in the Sabbath rest that comes from God. When man fell into sin, that's when toil, that's when thorns, that's when pain in childbirth came into the world. God gave work, but it wasn't hard. It was full of joy and full of rest. But in heaven, all of that will be taken away. And we will have the Sabbath rest of God forever. In contrast of those in hell, Revelation 11:14 says, they have no rest, day or night. Jesus told us, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Could it be that this is really what He has in mind in heaven? Number five, serving. Serving. Revelations 22 and 3 says this, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. Those who lovingly serve the Lord Jesus on earth will serve the Lord in heaven forever. Servants of the Lord are going to feel right at home in heaven. I'm going to say it again. Servants of the Lord, those that love to serve Him, serving Him gladly, you're going to feel right at home in heaven. Do you know how to serve the Lord with gladness like Psalm 102 commands us to do? Heaven is not an eternity free from work. If you're seeking to be free from work forever, don't go to heaven. This comes from a misunderstanding that some people think that work is something that came from that fall, from the curse. But Jesus says he has removed that curse. We will be engaged in service in heaven. All the more reason why you should be engaged in service right now as a believer. Can I tell you, not enough Christians are serving. Not enough Christians are servants. Be serving. In heaven, we will serve the Lord. I have a concern. Many people call themselves Christians, but do little to nothing in service for the Lord. I want to tell you, in heaven, you're going to be able to serve him without weakness, without limitation. Those who are disqualified from serving on earth, that they're judged by something that they've done in their past and they can no longer work. But in heaven, they're going to be restored to serve, and there will be no such judgment upon them. Revelation 1:5 tells us of kings who are also priests who minister to the Lord. That is us in heaven. Kings and priests who minister to the Lord. Serving the Lord, going into the Holy of Holies, into his presence, as only the high priest could do. That is what heaven is going to be like. Except the high priest could only come in one day a year, and it was a frightful thing. But in heaven, we will do it all the time, in the presence of the Lord. Kings and priests before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Number six. Not only will you serve, but number six, you will be served. Being served is what you're going to be doing in heaven. Take a look at what Jesus says in this parable of the servant who is prepared for his master's return. Luke 12:37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve. Who's going to dress himself to serve? The servant? Read it. The master. Pay attention. Look at this. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth. He, the master, will dress himself to serve. Will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Jesus is coming back, and it's going to be good for those that are watching and working, because then Jesus is going to serve us. He's going to dress himself to serve. Jesus says the master will serve. Jesus is that master. And he is going to serve you in heaven for all eternity. How many know at the Last Supper, Jesus got up from the table where everyone was sitting and reclining. And he put on an apron and he went around and he served each one of them. All of his disciples, he served them and he washed their hands. Jesus is going to serve us for eternity. The Lord Jesus, as he served us on the earth, coming in the incarnation, through crucifixion, his resurrection, through his ascension, his intercession at the right hand of God, his coming again in glory, he is going to, when he gets us home to the Father's house, he's going to serve us forever and ever. Amen. We will serve and we will be served. Number seven, we will learn. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Say amen if it's true.
Amen.
We are not omniscient. We're not omniscient. We don't know everything. Say amen if it's true. We know very little. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says that on the other side of the afterlife, he will know even as he is known. He says, I will know even as I am known. Paul says his knowledge is going to increase in heaven. What will God teach us in heaven? That's a great question. I have no clue, but it's fascinating to think about. God has so much to show you. Don't you realize God has not run out of things to show his children? Don't you know he's not run out of things to teach us? Surely you believe Jesus has more to reveal to us in heaven. He is the creator God, and you will learn so much more about him in heaven. Finally, number 8, we will fellowship. Heaven is going to be a great fellowship. Besides God, there will be angels. You'll actually get to fellowship with angels. See if they're cool to hang out with. We'll see. You're going to fellowship with other believers. There's so many people right now. We love them so much. We pray for them, but they're on the other side of the world. We can't. I've never been in the room with Barnabas over there in Nepal. We just had to settle for Zoom here on earth, and we're thankful for it. One day we'll be face to face with him. We'll get to fellowship with him and his family. Isn't that beautiful? We finally made it home, Barnabas, hanging out there together in heaven. It's beautiful. There will be fellowship without disunity. The prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, verse 11, will finally be answered. He prayed it. He said, I pray that we would be one as the Father and Son were one. That's what I pray, that they would be one. We're finally in heaven going to see that prayer answered. Many people ask, will I know my loved ones in heaven? That's a great question. That's an important question. The answer is yes. 100%. Yes, you're going to know your loved ones in heaven. Even better, you will not only know your loved ones, you will know everyone. In Matthew 17, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. You know this story? Two people show up supernaturally right there in the presence of Jesus, Peter, James, and John at the Mount of Transfiguration. The names of those two people are Moses and Elijah. Jesus is there, Peter, James, and John, and then boom, suddenly Moses and Elijah are there. Now, had Peter ever met Moses and Elijah?
No.
Did Peter know what they looked like?
No.
Did Moses have an Instagram? Did Moses take selfies? Then Peter's like, oh, I've seen his picture before. That's Moses. No. But suddenly, supernaturally, these two people appear. And Peter speaks out. And he calls Moses and Elijah by name. He somehow knew who they were. What's happening at the Mount of Transfiguration? God is giving a glimpse of the glory of heaven. And for a moment, they see Jesus Christ robed in the glory of God. The glory that's in heaven. Just as Peter had momentary fellowship with Moses and Elijah, they didn't have to introduce each other. They knew, because in heaven, people know, even as they are known. I want to tell you, you're going to know the names of everyone in heaven. But way cooler, they're going to know your name. You can't wait to meet David. David can't wait to meet you. Abraham's going to know who you are.
Yes.
You're so excited to talk to Paul about the time he was stoned outside of that city. There is something in your life Paul can't wait to talk to you about.
That's good. I love that.
Yes. We will have fellowship in heaven, unlike any other fellowship we've ever had. We have tried our best to capture the fellowship of heaven on earth. We never have. Ever go to a 10-year high school reunion? You try your best to connect with people. In heaven, there will be no trying. Everyone will connect. And it will be wonderful. They will know your name. They will know your deeds. And you will have fellowship with them. So of course you're going to know your loved ones. I'm telling you, you're going to know your loved ones better than you've ever known your loved ones. And they're going to know you better than they've ever known you before. Oh, heaven's beautiful. Every piece of it is beautiful. Only God could create a place called heaven. Here's another question. It's important. It's closely related. Will there be marriage in heaven? Matthew 22 and 30. At the resurrection, Jesus says, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. So let me stop you for a second. This doesn't mean that we become angels. This is the verse that a lot of people go, see, in heaven we're going to become angels. You're going to have wings. You're going to have a halo. I can't find that anywhere in Scripture, by the way. Halos, can't find them. All right. I want to tell you, this doesn't mean you become an angel, but it does mean that we won't marry or be married in heaven. Now, there are some people that rejoice in this. And if that's you, these altars are open. Do not look at your wife right now. Do not even do it. Just say, yeah. Just maybe you say very quiet, yeah, those people do need to pray. That's not you. And then there are others. Let's get real. This could be really sad to hear from Jesus. You really love my marriage. I won't be married in heaven. I want to give you some hope in that today. Listen very quickly. When you are married, you are committed to one person above all. Is that the truth? In your marriage, you're committed to one person above all. And it is wonderful on earth to find that one person to be committed to for the rest of your life. In heaven, that commitment is not done away with. It's expanded. Now listen, it's expanded. Because you will, in heaven, you will not be just committed to one person. You will be committed to everyone. And everyone will be committed to you. They will love you, not in a sexual way, but they will love you like a marriage ought to love. Everyone will be fully committed to Christ, and everyone will be fully committed to each other. Can you see how that would be better? Yes, that would be better. It's not just you and me, babe, against the world. No, it's all of us together, not against anyone. That is so much better. That's heaven. How about this question? Where do we go after we die? Thank you for asking these questions. These are big questions. Is my loved one in heaven right now? They had faith. They believed on the Lord. Are they present with the Lord, or are they somewhere else? Are they sleeping in the grave? The Bible references death as sleep. In the Old Testament, it says, they slept with their fathers, meaning that they died. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, it gives us hope concerning those that have died. It says it describes them as fallen asleep. Those that have fallen asleep. It's talking about those that have died, but it says that they fell asleep. Everyone who has ever died is asleep. But one day will be awakened by Jesus. But I've got more for you. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says, to be away from the body, dead, right? To be away from this body is to be present with the Lord. So, question, are we asleep or are we present with the Lord? Or are we present with the Lord but somehow asleep? Which one is it? Those are my three options right there. Now, I won't say I'm completely certain about this, but I'm going to give you my strong opinion on it. And I've got scripture on it. I believe that your body is asleep. That your body is laying there like it's asleep. The Bible doesn't call it dead because it's going to be woken up one day. Things that wake up aren't dead, they're asleep. Your body rests somewhere. When Christ awakens the body, it will rise out of the grave. But your soul is not asleep. Your soul is very much alive and awake. And I have scripture that causes me to say this. Revelation chapter 6 verse 9 tells of the souls of the martyred who are in God's very presence. Now this is the souls of people who have been killed. Are they dead? Yeah, but their souls are in the very throne room of God. When? Right now. These souls talk and they ask the Lord a question. So they can talk. And they ask, how long? How long before you come and make things right, Lord? How long before you return to the earth? You see, that's the real question. Can I tell you, they've got a better viewpoint on what's really important than we do, being in heaven. The real question that we need to ask is, how long, Lord? How long do you come back? We want you to come back. We want to see your face. We need to be longing for the return of Jesus. How long? But here's what we can learn about that. These souls in heaven are awake. They think and they speak and they are somewhat aware of what's going on earth. So I'm going to tell you something. Christians can be really not very joyful and kind of critical. And here's one thing. I've been around Christians, you know, I've actually been in a room where this happened. Do you think grandmother's with the Lord right now? Somebody said, well, I think she's with the Lord right now. I said, well, actually, you know, she's asleep and she's not with the Lord right now. She's going to have to wait her turn at the throne. It's like, stop! Not helpful. I want to tell you, it's not incorrect to say grandmother is with Jesus. Because those that are absent from the body are present with the Lord. If she had faith in Jesus, I believe that she's present with the Lord. And you can live on that hope. And you ought to celebrate that hope. That is to be celebrated. These souls are bodiless, but present with the Lord. Their bodies are asleep in the grave. The souls of the dead will be united with their body at the resurrection. They're going to come back together, the body out of the grave, the soul into the body. The souls of the dead will be united with their bodies at the rapture or at one of the two resurrections that we studied last week. We will discuss more about that if you've got any questions. Those who are dead in Christ are present with Christ. But those who are not in Christ are found in another place. And we will finish our series next week by talking about that. I'm going to open these altars for a time of prayer. But first, I've got one more point to give you. Where is heaven? Where is this place at? Where is it? I know Texans and Oklahomans have opinions on their state being heaven. I won't say anything. I'm not going to say anything, brother. I want to tell you real quick about where heaven is. The Bible speaks of three heavens. That can get confusing. But that's like an ancient concept. The first heaven is the sky. The second heaven is outer space where you see stars. And then Paul then speaks of a third heaven. He calls it the third heaven because it's the dwelling place of God. God's dwelling. Don't be confused by that. We are speaking of this third heaven. Where is that place? Where is the very throne room of God? Heaven and earth are separate places, aren't they? They are. Heaven is God's throne and earth is his footstool. Isaiah 66 says that. Heaven is God's throne. Earth is his footstool. Is he present both places? Yes. But there's a big difference between a footstool and a throne. God's throne is in heaven. But look again at this verse, Revelation 21. We're going to read 1 through 3. Look at this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I want to help you real quick. God is not taking you from earth to heaven. God is bringing earth down to, God is bringing heaven down to earth. God is not taking you from this planet. He is bringing heaven to this planet. And it will be brand new. It will be a brand new heaven and a brand new earth with God's dwelling now with mankind forever. This can transform all your thoughts. Can I tell you, it was God's plan to create a garden. It was always God's plan to walk in that garden and to dwell in the garden with man. When mankind fell, God did not throw that plan away. Instead, God incarnated. He put on flesh so that he could come and dwell among who? Dwell among men. And he died on the cross to take away our sin. He came up into glory. And then what does he do? Because he has now removed our sin, he can bring heaven down to earth and he can dwell with us forever. God wants to be with you. God wants you in his heaven, in his dwelling place. That's why he's done all of this. He wanted to be with Adam and Eve. He wanted to be with Cain and Abel. Every person you've ever met is a person that God wants to spend eternity with. You can learn a lot about God here, can't you? Isn't he a wonderful God? You might have thought that God wants to take you off to some far-off cosmic place to show you spiritual mysteries that are swirly and otherworldly. But instead, God is coming down to your earth to walk in fellowship with you, just like he walked with Adam and Eve in that garden. Heaven is God's dwelling. Do you want to dwell with God? Here's what's so wonderful. You don't have to wait for that day. His dwelling can come right here, right now.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.